Welcome to the results presentation of CIE Automotive. Lorea Aristizabal, Director for Corporate Development at CIE Corporation, will be in charge of this presentation. After the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. You will be able to ask your question via phone by dialing 01 on your keyboard at any point during the presentation. I will now hand over to Ms. Aristizabal. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon, and thank you all very much for attending our conference call on the results for the first semester of 2017. Following the order of the presentation we published this morning, we can begin by reviewing the automotive division, continue with Dominion, and finally the results and the consolidated balance sheet for the group. Focusing on automotive, and specifically on automotive sales, in the first semester of the year, they grew more than 34% compared to the same period last year. Plus 4% because of the exchange rate, 40% as a result of the integrations of Amaya Tejería, Bilforge and Nucor, and a pure organic growth of almost 17%, a sustained growth level during the year, very similar during the first two quarters. But what really matters is highlighting not the 17% in organic growth in itself, but two associated aspects. First of all, that 17% has been obtained in a market that globally has grown 3%, and secondly, that 17% is backed by a growth at CE that beats the market in each and every area where we're present. We're going to quickly review the geographies and market developments. NAFTA, the first semester, a drop in production of 1%, dragged down by the drop in Canada, minus 3%, United States, minus 4%, compared to a major growth in Mexico, plus 16%, and it is expected that this trend will continue during the rest of the year. In this market toxic, CIE, with an organic growth in NAFTA of 20% because of the additional and gradual contribution of numerous projects that are under development as a result of the major investments made in recent times. Europe, a mature market, with a growth in production of 1% in the semester, although it is currently foreseen that the second semester will be somewhat stronger. CIE in Europe with an organic growth of 12%, thanks to the high level of industrializations in new projects. The third market, Brazil, an increase in production of 23% in the semester, with a recovery of part of the market that was lost, possibly finishing the year with close to 2.5 million vehicles. In this framework, CIE with an organic growth of 32%, thanks to the trust of our customers who continue to assign new projects to us and thereby increase our market share there. India, with an increase in production of 8% in the semester, showing how solid and sustainable their major growth rates are, in spite of slight slumps along the way, such as a result of the demonetization. And CIE in India, with an organic growth of 15%, doubling the market with new projects from both traditional and Western customers. And finally, China, with an increase in production of 3% in the semester, although it seems that it could slightly reduce in the second part of the year. And in this context, CIE has an outstanding organic growth of 25%, thanks especially to our Forge project. In margins in automotive, we have a generalized improvement in the various geographic areas compared to the same period last year. NAFTA, with a sustained level of 19% in the EBIT margin, reflecting the dilution in margins because of the inclusion in the second quarter of 4 months of Nucor from March to June. Europe, ex Mahindra, in the midst of industrialization process with more than 11% in the EBIT margin. A Mahindra CIE Europe, which has recovered most of its normal operations and maintains levels close to 9% in the EBIT margin. Brazil, which thanks to a strong growth, has reached a double-digit EBIT margin. This double digit, which we believe is sustainable over the coming quarters. And Asia, which in 2017 has again improved margins and is close to 9% EBIT margin. In conclusion, in the automotive division, we're talking about the second quarter in a row with an EBITDA margin over sales close to 17% and an EBIT margin over sales of more than 12%. And in the semester, it reflects a major improvement compared to the same period last year, which had an EBIT margin of 12.1% versus 11.4% in June 2016. Moving on to Dominion, we're talking about a turnover which has grown 27% compared to the same period last year, including a forex effect of 1%. For the same perimeter and a constant currency, the organic growth has been 9%, again exceeding the strategic objective for organic growth of 7%. In margins, as discussed during earlier quarters, the dilutive effect of the acquisitions in 2016, but the margins have progressively improved throughout the year, and we can see this if we sequentially compare the figures from the second quarter of 2017 compared to the first quarter, and we can highlight a net income which has grown 24% compared to June 2016. The breakdown of the two business segments is very similar to last year's. Services carrying a weight of 61% and a contribution margin of 8.7%, and solutions with 39% and a contribution margin of 15.7%. Regarding the portfolio, we closed the semester with more than 490 million euros booked and very equally shared between the three fields of activity. And finally, within the context of the strategic plan and the inorganic growth for Dominion, we have recently announced the signing of the acquisition agreement for Phonehouse Spain, which we expect to close in September. For more details of Dominion, please look at the results presentation, which took place 2 hours ago and which you can access on Rediffusion. With all this, during this first semester, the group is over 15% EBITDA and close to 11% EBIT. And as we did in the first quarter, we have managed to convert 50% of the 272 million euros in EBITDA into 136 million euros in results after taxes. Result after taxes, which represents 7.6% over sales, and which shows the major capacity to generate recurrency in our income statement. A couple of comments on the balance sheet for the group. At the closing of 2016, we had 816 million in net financial debt. At the closing of the first quarter, we had 904, and in the second quarter, we have reduced this to 887 million, which represents a DFN EBITDA ratio annually and with the current perimeter of 1.79 times. In the cash flow situation summarized in the presentation, you will have been able to understand the development of this debt. We started with a six-month EBITDA of 272 million turned into 143 million with a 53% EBITDA. And we have dedicated this cash flow to two concepts, basically paying out the interim dividend for 2016 in January 2017, and increase in both aspects, both in expansion and in M&A. In M&A, in the first semester, we have paid out a total of 144 million. The total price for the purchasing of Nucor, 101 million. The single pending payment for Amaya Tejería, 30 million. Purchasing an additional 34.9% stake in Duramitel in Brazil, 6 million, and 7 million in earnouts from several Dominion companies. And finally, both the recurrent capex and the expansion capex have been higher than normal in the first semester, and especially in the second quarter of the year, because of the seasonal situation of the investments. And we expect to recover more normal levels, more similar to those of 2016 in the first quarter of 2017, with a lower investment level in the second semester. And we'll finish by saying that once again, this quarter. Our commitment has been met with the objective published in the strategic plan for 2020. We are continuing on a path of high and very profitable growth, which we have extended to all the geographic areas we operate in, and which quarter by quarter generates significant value. The solid results prove how valid and sustainable our business model is in an environment of growing complexity, but where we feel in a perfect position to face the sectoral challenges. And with this, we end the presentation and move on to the questions from the participants, if any. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your phone. To ensure sound quality, we recommend using a landline for your questions. Thank you. The first question is by Juan Canoves from Tidentis. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon, Lorea. I had a question. In view of how very good the first semester has been, can we believe that the second semester is going to be similar, or is there anything that should make us think that there may be some kind of slowdown? Hello, Juan. Good afternoon. Well, I don't think there's any reason to believe that the second semester is going to be worse. Normally, I would say that the only comment on the second semester is that you have to remember that there's the effect of summer and Christmas, and we always talk about a year that has 6 months in the first semester but only 5 months in the second. But in spite of that, we would have the whole semester for Nucor, which wasn't a full semester for the first half, and the issue of the phone house. We're not absolutely certain when the operation will conclude, but that could also contribute something additionally, perhaps in the final quarter of the year. Yes, and regarding the phone house, I've looked at the Dominion presentation, but it wasn't too clear. They talk about sales of 70-some million. Is that what you consider to be the sales? The presentation referred to two types of sales, the purely accounting sales and what we're going to call the adjusted sales. These are the management sales and the sales where we'll reflect future margins in Dominion. And the presentation has said that after annualizing the last year available, the year ending April 30th, 2017, we'll be talking about accounting sales close to 300 million, which is the equivalent of the figure that has been given of 77 million in adjusted sales. You would consider the accounting sales or the adjusted sales? The annual accounts, our accounting and our audited report would reflect the accounted sales, which in these figures would be close to 300 million, and in our quarterly management report we would talk about both the accounted reports and the management sales, which is what we'll use internally. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. The next question is from Ignacio Ortiz from JB Capital Markets. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. How are you? Good afternoon. Two questions. How sustainable is the growth you've had in China for the second semester and for 2018? And then can you give us some guidance on the net debt we should expect for the end of the year? And another question, do you have in mind any M&A operations for the second half of the year? Thank you very much. Hello, Ignacio. Good afternoon. Regarding China and growth in China, there's a very specific reason why we're currently having major growth in China. That reason is not that we're investing massively over there. You know that the Chinese market is a market that we never found especially attractive. The reason we're growing is because we're in the ramp-up of a very specific project, a forge project, a major project, and in the last 2 years, 16, 17, and part of 18, this is going to contribute major growth up to full series. For from there on, I don't think in China we should expect gigantic growth because we're not making gigantic investments. Regarding the second question, the net financial debt for 2017, we're going to think together how the end of the year is going to be. You have the generation for the second semester, which is going to be extremely strong. And I've just said how during the first part of the year, there have been 144 million in M&A, and it's not going to be that much in the second semester. The pending earnouts in the second semester include Beroa and some other smaller earnouts from other operations. We could be talking about a total of about 30 million, plus the payout of the two-thirds of Phone House that will come at the time of closing, let's say September. And that's as far as the M&A payments will go with the current perimeter. If to that you add a third reason that I also mentioned, and that is that the CapEx has been slightly unleveled, and the first semester has supported more CapEx than in the second semester, I think that all that together tells us that you're not going to see an increase in debt or a special weight of the debt in the second semester. We're going to remain in very solid ratios, the ones that we've given, 1.7. The third question, are we involved in M&A operations? Many are open, and we're working hard on M&A operations. I don't think you're going to see enormous operations. There may be some additional issues. Patricia also mentioned it earlier on the Dominion side in the Dominion presentation. We're also very active in Dominion. So I think there could be some little things before the end of the year, but I don't think you should expect any major M&A operations. We're warming them up for future years. 18 will probably be stronger in M&A. Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We remind you once again, if you would like to ask a question, you can dial 01 on your phones. Thank you. The next question is by Manuel Equalo from PPI. Go ahead, please. Manuel, I'm sorry. I don't know whether you're muted, but we're not hearing your question. Can you now? Yes, we can hear you now. Thank you very much, Manuel. Sorry. Good afternoon. I had two questions. The first for Brazil regarding developments in margins, which have been quite strong. Is that a non-recurrent effect? Or is it sustainable for the rest of the year? And then regarding NAFTA, there has also been organic and inorganic growth, which is significant compared to no market growth. So my question is, what is the magnitude of your market gains, and how do you see the competition, their reaction to your hypothetical gains in share? Thank you. Manuel, thank you, especially for asking about Brazil. But it should have been something I mentioned, and I overlooked it completely. The second quarter in Brazil is true. It has been particularly strong. It's also true that it has an effect. That enormous growth that you're seeing in Brazil means many new projects that are coming from the customers. And this has coincided, because of the timing of the projects, with a second quarter where there have been a number of mold and dye sales, and they've all coincided in time. If we talk about recurrence and sustainability of the margins, I think that we should refer to the margins in the semester. If we look at the semester, we're talking about an EBITDA margin over 13%, an EBIT margin of 10%. And I think that's a good starting point to think about recurrence for future quarters. And if we talk about NAFTA, you mentioned two concepts. that in a tier two like us are difficult. The market share, you know that we don't talk about market share for our products, and the issue of our competition, how we see the competition, because you know that we always say that our multi-technology prevents us from having clear peer comparisons, one-to-one, I mean. But not just NAFTA, but in general, in a post-crisis Brazil, in a Europe after the enormous crisis in 2009 to the present day, in a market like Brazil, where there have been so many investments from customers in recent years, in all the markets, what we're seeing is the same general trend. The customer is putting their trust in us, and they're making us gain market share constantly. We're growing more than the market because we believe that our business model provides more. They find in CIE what they don't find in other Tier 2 suppliers. They find that supermarket, as I sometimes say, in the sense that in CIE they can find a global supply platform that they can't find in most Tier 2s, and a global supply platform that's multi-technology that they can't find in normal Tier 2s. So somehow we're fitting in perfectly well with the kind of supply that the customer is looking for in all markets, and we're providing that added value that others don't provide. I think that's the reward we're receiving. So yes, additional market share, additional growth in the market in all geographic areas. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. For the time being, there are no further questions. The next question is from Javier Benito from Exan. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lore. I would like to ask about the Europe margins. Basically, they fell a little in the second quarter, but you refer to industrialization and an improvement in the second semester. Should we see a better semester in margins in Europe than the first semester? Javier, good afternoon. Yes. It doesn't make too much sense to try to fine-tune so much the results in Europe. I believe we're talking about results in Europe ex Mahindra, and it's true results have been a little bit lower. But in the geography, when we're talking about almost 40 different plants where they are in the midst of industrialization and picking up new orders, I don't think we should be concerned. I think that we're going to see sustainability. The margin for the semester, I'm going back to what I said about Brazil, it's over 11% EBIT, over 17% EBITDA. I think that's where sustainability lies, an absolute recurrence. The fact that it's a little bit more, a little bit less in a quarter, with all this conglomerate of projects, I don't think it's very meaningful. And it's not because there's been a serious problem we haven't told you about. Thank you very much. There are no more questions in the Spanish room, so we're going to take the questions from the English room.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now open the Q&A session, and the first question comes from Angel Alicia from Standard Life Investors. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Could you please give us a view on what you think about all this recent news flow around electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles, and what impact that would have on your business, and how adaptable your products are to these new emerging trends? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Anjali. I think that's a very strategic question, and that we could probably discuss for the next 3 hours if we were sitting together at the table. I'm going to give a brief summary so that this conference call won't take too long. I think that by understanding the base of our industrial model, we can understand that electrification or any other development in the powertrain of a car is not a risk we're facing. Understanding the CIE base, our command over technology is what is our great risk. The great risk for CIE would be that tomorrow half of your car would be made out of components from one technology that is currently not included in our portfolio and which we haven't planned for. And that would not enable us to provide a complete response to our customers' needs. And our business model would lose out. Electrification, hybrid cars, any other developments, as long as they use the same technologies, we are absolutely capable of developing our portfolio. I'd ask you to review the CIE presentations from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or 15 years ago, and you'll see that the technology portfolio remains consistent, changing the weight of the various technologies and developing many products, many different products. And having said this, and I know that you love to carry out these mathematical calculations, what would happen if tomorrow all cars were neither internal combustion engines or hybrid, but purely electrical? I'd have to say that approximately a quarter of the automotive sales in CIE, a quarter, are linked to a pure powertrain. And by pure powertrain, I mean engine and gearbox. That would be the most mathematical answer. But having said this, in this quarter, in this 25% of CIE dedicated to the pure powertrain, we are already developing. I don't know whether we don't advertise, I don't know whether we don't publicize ourselves enough, but in that 25%, we include the electrical powertrain. And, for example, I'm going to mention a project that I think some of you have heard about. It's a project we're carrying out in Mexico for Tesla, and we're producing the cover for the electric battery on the new model Tesla. So in that 25%, we are already evolving. So no, we don't feel that electrification at whatever speed it comes is going to be a problem. It will be welcome. It will just give us the opportunity to prove once again that we evolve together with the trends in the sector. So a message of absolute confidence. I think that after, at the end of the conference call, I said that we felt we were perfectly ready and positioned to cope with the challenges in the sector, and that, of course, included electrification.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. There are no further questions at today's conference call. So I'll hand back to Lore Aristizabal. Thank you all very much once again. Goodbye.